Some of us have been through some stuff. But praise God, we didn't have to walk alone. Somebody said, when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me, my very soul cries out, hallelujah. I thank God for saving me. Our message for today from 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 through 16, is actually hinged on verse 14. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Like to leave with you the thought today, naturally, there will be a problem spiritually. Naturally, there will be a problem spiritually. Amen. You get that little play on words? Naturally, there will be a problem spiritually. Let us pray. Father, we honor you and praise you and thank you. We pray thy blessings upon your word, that you bless us together as we dig into the rich treasures of your knowledge and truth, that when we leave this place, we will, in fact, be the better for it, that no one will leave here lost, no one will leave here disconnected, no one will leave here confused, all by your power, in Jesus' name, amen. I love what Paul's trying to do in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, because I've been around church, I've been in church for a long time. I used to wonder how some people would just sit in church and not feel anything and just walk out. And this helped me out, because if you're not spiritual, church don't mean much to you. Church is not a natural experience. It is spiritual. I used to look at people and I said, wow, nobody can preach to them. They don't like anybody's preaching. All the preaching wasn't bad. It was just them. And sometimes it's us. If we don't come in with the right person, like who's here today? Is my natural person here? Or is my spirit person here? You know, it makes a difference who shows up to worship. But the church at Corinth was established by the Apostle Paul on his second missionary journey. Corinth was a major cosmopolitan city, a seaport, and a major trade center. It was the most important city in Achaia. The city of Corinth was also filled with idolatry and immorality. So I went back to make sure it didn't say the city of Philadelphia. I went back to check that it was filled with, you know, idolatry and immorality. The membership of the church at Corinth was mostly Gentiles, and they were struggling to live this new Christian life in the midst of all this idolatry and immorality. It's hard sometimes to live right in the midst of it, especially when you came out of it. Oh, my. The purpose of Paul's letter to the Corinthian church was to offer solutions and to teach the believers how to live for Christ in a corrupt society. I don't know why they made me think about Philadelphia. The book of 1 Corinthians, written by Paul, is believed to be his response to a list of questions that the church had sent him to respond to. The letter to the church at Corinth was written while he was visiting Ephesus during the middle of his third missionary journey. In chapters 1 through 6, Paul addresses church problems such as divisions in the church and disorder in the church. In chapters 7 through 16, Paul answers the church's questions about Christian marriage, Christian freedom, public worship, and the resurrection. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, where our message is focused for today, is where Paul talks about the necessity of the Holy Spirit operating in the life of the believer. And even though Paul was addressing some issues and questions that they had sent to him, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, Paul is basically saying, if y'all would get out the natural and get in the spiritual, this whole church would be in better condition. You know, he answered the question, but he said, you know, if you would just get out of that natural. He didn't even say get out of the flesh. Because carnal and natural, there's a distinction between that. Natural means no spirit. Carnal means led by the flesh. So if you're natural, you don't have any spirit in you at all. But if you're carnal, you say, but your flesh is directing your life. Oh, my. Okay. People still looking at me. Let that marinate for a minute. Okay. As we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, let us consider these three points. Number one, God's message through Paul. God's message through Paul. It was a spiritual message. Number two, the natural person. And number three, the spiritual person. Number one, God's message through Paul. And number two, the natural person. And number three, the spiritual person. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1. Paul said, when I came to you, even though I am a very intelligent man with about 45 degrees, when I came to you, I did not come to you with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And when I came to you, I came only to preach the gospel and only to talk about Jesus. And if you read the scriptures, Paul was a learned man. He knew languages. He knew a whole bunch of stuff. But he said, when I came to you, I came to you with God's message and God's message only. I didn't come to you trying to impress you with me. I did not come to you trying to impress you with my credentials. I came as a messenger of God with the word of God for the people of God. And that's all I came to do. And in verse 3 he said, and I was with you in weakness and in fear and trembling. He said, I had some physical ailments and some complications. And I was mighty afraid of the assignment that God had given me, but I still came anyway. And I still preach the word of God unto you anyway. He's trying to remind the church at Corinth, when I came to you, I didn't come to you with no magic spell. I came to you with truth of the word of God. And y'all trying to answer your problems. You're trying to worship God in the natural, and you need to be spiritual. As a matter of fact, if you're in the natural, you have yet to receive the message which I preach to you, because you can only receive it in the spirit, because the message was in fact spiritual. He's simply saying to them, naturally you're going to have some problems spiritually. And look at verse 4. In my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and the power of God. He said, I came in the Spirit and power of God. I didn't come in my own wisdom. I didn't come with my own power. I didn't come with my own spirit. I came in the power and the wisdom of God. He said, that's how I came to you. Because he said that your faith, look at verse 5, should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. I want you to know when I got finished ministering unto you, that if you believe the gospel that I preached unto you, that your faith would be in God and not in Paul. I did not want to leave Congress having folks say, Paul saved me. I want to leave Corinth knowing that your faith is in God and not in me. Just in case I have to leave Corinth, y'all can still worship God. You can still preach God. You can still teach God without me. Now, when he left, there were some problems, but he let them know, reminding them, hey, it's the word of God that's going to keep you in the will of God and the ways of God. So I didn't want you talking about me. I ain't saved nobody. No. I preach the wisdom and the power of God. Then he says, you know, when I speak, howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, what he really say that when I speak to different groups of people, I know what to say. But he said, for you, I said exactly what God told me to tell you. You know, sometimes preachers will tell you, if I'm preaching amongst a whole meeting of preachers, I may do things differently. But I'm preaching among God's people, I may say things differently. But what he's saying is, wherever I am, I'm going to say what God tells me to say. This way I won't get in trouble. See, you have to understand, when you proclaim the gospel, you have to preach what thus saith the Lord. If the people don't like it or if they love it, that's not on you. Just preach the truth. Because whatever you like or dislike, you got to take it up with the master. It's his word. Paul just basically saying, all I did was preach what God told me. Look at verse 7. But we speak the wisdom of God and the mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory. Paul said, I came preaching you a mystery that's been revealed to me through the power of the Spirit. Oh, my God. And verse 8. Which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. He said, had they known. Had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Had I known, I would not have taken so long to say yes to his will. And yes, I would have been saying a long time ago, had I known. But when you're in the natural, when you're doing your thing, the word of God can't penetrate, can't get to you. So God's message to Paul was a spiritual message. And he's basically saying, you know, I want you to receive God's spiritual message. I don't want you even to look at me. I'm just a vessel. I don't want you to be impressed with me. I don't want you to be moved because of me. I want you to be moved because of the truth of the word of God that has been preached in this church at Corinth. And that's how you got saved. But see, you know what? It happened a long time ago. This natural person, it happened in the book of Genesis. Because in the book of Genesis, in chapter 2, God told Adam not to touch, you know, don't eat from a certain tree. And he said, the day that thou eat of it, thou shalt surely die. And so they ate of the tree and they died spiritually and still live physically. So this natural man has been around for a long time. But see, once we go into the natural, we can no longer serve God, because they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Wow, that natural man is something to think about. Because in verse 9, Paul says, but as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. I said, wait a minute, Paul, what you mean? Oh, I have not seen. Went back and checked it out. He's talking about any person in the natural can't see and cannot hear what God has prepared for them. You just can't get it in the natural. I'm sorry. I don't care how long you stay in church. I don't care if you sit on the front row. I don't care if you pour the oil on you, then drink a bottle of it. If you're in the natural. It's a spiritual walk. It's a spiritual journey. If you're in the natural, we can't receive in the natural. So look, what about this natural person? Look at verse 10. Verse 11, part A. For what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of a man which is in him? My God. What man know the things of a man save the spirit of man which is in him? Well, all Paul is trying to say, a man knows himself. A human being knows who they are deep down on the inside. So this natural person is operating in the natural and has no spirit operating. Paul said, there's no spirit operating in you because you are naturally operating. And when you're naturally operating, naturally, you can't be spiritual. Look at verse 14. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God,
for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. That's why folk can sit in a service where the word of God is being preached and being taught and leave here and say, I ain't getting nothing out of it.
Because we're sitting in our natural state and not in our spiritual state.
You know, 1 Corinthians 2:14, this is what it says in the Living Bible. But the man who isn't a Christian cannot understand, cannot accept these thoughts from God, which the Holy Spirit teaches us. They sound foolish to him, because only those who have the Holy Spirit within them can understand what the Holy Spirit means. Others just can't take it in.
That's why some folks be bugging you during the service. Is it time to go? Come on, somebody.
That's why folks be messing with you.
They don't want to hear.
They can't hear it.
Because they don't have the receptivity. Because they're in the natural. They don't want to hear what thus saith the Lord. After they come in and you see what new outfit they got on, they finish. This service, or after they get in or pay you the money they owe you, they finish. They ain't come in to hear no word. Some folks come to be entertained. This is not entertainment. This is where we get built up in the most holy. This is where we find out what thus saith the Lord. This is where we come together to find out, God, what is the will for my life? This is not a place where you're supposed to sit and watch and watch. How much longer going to be? Your chicken can wait, baby. Why do we come to a place to get out of a place? This is where we come to learn what thus saith the Lord. I mean, if I'm not saying nothing, walk out. But if I'm in the word of what thus saith the Lord, there got to be something there. You've been places before where they fix you a plate of food, you ain't like everything on it. You took what you liked and you left that rest there. Or when they went out the room, you threw it in the trash. I wish I had some witnesses up in here. You know how we do. Look at 1 Corinthians 3:1. What did Paul say? And our brethren could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes of Christ. He said, that's where that carnal comes in. He said, you are saved, but you in the flesh, but natural has no spirit. Carnal is just led by the flesh. You can be saved and be carnal. See, you can't be saved and be natural. Because natural means no spirit. Carnal means got the spirit, not using the spirit. I'm running, my flesh is running me. I'm in the flesh. I'm carnal. I'm a carnal Christian. God knows my heart. That's nothing to brag about. That's a very dangerous position to be in. I come to church. What's that got to do with your spirit if you're not receiving anything? See, people, we think all the external stuff makes us a Christian. I come to church. I sing on the choir. I wear a robe. They call me Rev. They call me Nick. They call me evangelist. They call me prophet. They call me prophetess. They call me apostle. They call me potentate. They call me father. That don't make you spiritual. There's a transformation process that has to happen before you can become spiritual. And Paul was a conversion process. Acts chapter 9, on the road to Damascus, Paul was a conversion process. His natural had to be turned into spiritual. And it doesn't just happen on Sunday. 7 days a week. Because God speaks to folk not just on Sunday. That's why some folks say, God laid this on my heart. And you can trust what they say because they're spiritual. God can speak to them because that they live. Romans said, if you are led by the Spirit, then the flesh can't condemn you. Oh, my. Let me move on. Some folks looking at me like, so what? So what, Pastor? You all excited? 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. That new creature simply means that you are no longer natural. You are spiritual. Now, I do understand that we're still living in this body. And my wife shared the stuff with me about that whole thing about the spirit, the soul, and the body, that the soul touches the body and the spirit, but the spirit got to tell the soul, you know, to tell your body what to do. Your spirit got to be in charge. See, when you get saved, you ought to change who in charge of your life. When you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you ought to change. There was a bar down the street from us when we used to live in South Philadelphia, and I swore the bar had closed down. I saw a sign 2 weeks later under new management. I was somebody.
would be under new management. When you get saved, you are under new management, which means some stuff got to change. What you used to do got to change. How I used to think got to change. How I used to walk has to change, because I'm under a new manager now.
Got to be under new management. That soul touches your body and your spirit, but you know, you got to tell your body, like, who's in charge. You know, your spirit got to, you know, tell the body, hey, that's what you used to do. You know, you do your kids. Smack yourself.
You be hitting the hand and everything.
You know, kids be in church, make all the noise. You smack them real hard. Then they start crying, making more noise. But that's all right. That's just natural. That's just natural stuff.
But sometimes you got to shake yourself. Why am I going here? Why am I buying this? Why am I calling this person? My life has changed because that old nature is still there trying to buck up against the new manager. You ever become a new manager on your job and the old manager is still there? You took their job. They not bucking up against. That's what happens within us. You're under new management now, and the old manager saying, you ain't pushing me out. You know we had fun. Anybody have voices talking to you sometimes? You say you were going to do something, no more, and no more came up right next to you. No more was all up in your ear. Winking at you and stuff. Hey.
This thing is real. There's a struggle going on.
But we can win the struggle. The enemy wants to tell us that we can't win the struggle. The enemy wants to let us know we're never going to be anything, never been anything, that this life is going to be like this. That's a lie.
What the enemy does not want us to know, that if we get into the spirit,
there are some great things. What does it say in verse 9?
I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love us. That's all Paul's trying to get them to see. He said, in church, you're going to have some problems. You're going to have some divisions. But if everybody's spiritual, you can work on the problems and you can work on the divisions. But if half of us is natural and half of us is spiritual, that's a divide already. But that natural person look at stuff like, I don't know what they go to church for. That's what happens in the marriage. That's what Paul talks about. That's like, if you spiritual and you marry somebody natural, that's the issue. That's the issue right there. And Paul said, you know, keep the believing husband helps the unbelieving wife. The believing wife helps the unbelieving husband. Sometimes you just got to hang in there. I know somebody said, Pastor, live with all men peaceably if you can. Ain't no peace up in there. I'm about to
break camp, Pastor. I'm about to break camp. I'm proud. We got a die vision, and I'm gonna get me a divorce to go with my die vision. I understand that's the way it is sometimes.
But that natural and spiritual, it's like oil and water. And we have the same types of things going on in our body on a daily basis. Sometimes you got to talk to yourself on a more than one time a day. Because James said, I looked in the mirror and I remembered, but then as soon as I left the mirror, I forgot. You got to remember who we are and who we're around. How strong are you? Now, how about the spiritual person? Look at 1 Corinthians 2 and 10. Paul said, but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Paul is telling the Corinthian church, if you grab the Spirit of God, God's Spirit in you will reveal unto you the deep things of God. Before he said it was a mystery, but once you come into the spirit realm of God, God will begin to reveal unto you the spiritual, the deep things of himself, even though you live in a natural world. Look at 11b. Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. You can't know anything about God unless you have the Spirit of God. That's what the Word of God says. You might know God, but you can't really know God without the Spirit of God, because God talks in spirit. Oh, I wish I had a witness in here. God talks in spirit.
They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth.
You don't believe me? Turn to John 6, 63.
John 6, verse 63. That's why there's so much in the Bible about quickening. Quickening, quickening, quickening. But look at John 6, 63. It is the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profit nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. The words, this is Jesus talking to, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. The word of God is Jesus in the flesh. The word of God is alive. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but the word of God shall stand. Pastor, what are you so excited about? Because when God's word will not return void, what do you mean? When God sends his word out, if I'm still in the natural, that word's going to hover until I get my spiritual. And as soon as I get my spiritual, that word's going to land and do exactly what God sent it out.
That's how folk get saved sometimes. Because the Holy Spirit of the Word of God begins to throw that truth on them, and they begin into the Spirit and begin to say, hey, I can believe that God sent Jesus Christ to die on the cross for me, and he got up on the third day with all power in his head. I can believe he did that for me. I wasn't fit to live and wasn't ready to die. I can believe he did that for me. All the mess I did in my life, that God had enough love for me and enough mercy for me and enough grace for me to come down and pardon me and redeem me and wipe away all my mess. Why am I carrying all this burden around when I got a burden bearer? I got a heavy load sharer.
See, this stuff is stupid unless you're in the spirit. This is crazy. Coming out here every night for vacation Bible study. If you in the natural, you'd be like, I am. I don't need no VBS. I don't need no Bible study, no Sunday. And then we make our excuses. I would come, but I don't like the teacher.
Well, you teach. Oh, you don't know what to teach.
What's the real deal? But see, when you're in the spirit, it's different. What did he tell Peter?
When they went to Caesarea Philippi, he said, whom do men say that I am? And then he flipped the question and said, who do you? And what did Peter say? Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And what did he tell Peter? Flesh and blood did not reveal that unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. He was letting Peter know, in your natural, you couldn't understand that, but my Father opened up some knowledge. He gave you some revelation. And because he gave you that revelation, you received that revelation. Upon myself, I'm going to build the church, but I'm giving you authority. I'm giving you the keys of the kingdom. See, when you begin to learn the deep things of God, God will give you some authority. He will give you the keys of the kingdom. And you'll begin to understand the spiritual things of God. And you won't be afraid of this. And you won't be afraid of that. You'll begin to get it and understand, God, I thank you. God, speak to my heart, Lord Jesus.
That spiritual person is deep. Look at verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. See, your salvation is more than just, you know, escape hell. No, salvation says that through the spirit, because of Christ's work on the cross, everything that God freely gives me, I can receive it in my spirit. See, when you pray for stuff, When you come to the altar and you all broke down and sick and all messed up and the doctor gave you a bad report, the only way you leave the altar encouraged is in your spirit. Because in your spirit, God spoke to you while you were here. And he said, look, I know how you feel in the natural, but in your spirit, I'm telling you something. I'm going to heal you. I'm a healer. That's why people can't understand when you leave the altar. They can't understand when you go to church back and forth. They say, but what? You say, no, God spoke to me in my spirit and told me it's going to be all right. That's how you keep coming back and forth to God's house. It's those of us in the natural that can't get this thing together. We're so messed up. When we get in the natural, nothing makes sense. Because we stand at the altar, and I'm in the natural, and I'm saying, God, I need to be healed, but I don't believe you. Because you can only receive the truth of God's word in your spirit. You can't recite to me Isaiah, by his stripes I'm healed, and recite it in the natural, not believe it in the spirit. Okay, all right. It's spiritual, y'all.
It is so spiritual. We see it by the Spirit. And we have both capabilities within this one body.
You got to determine who's going to be the boss. Who's going to be the boss today? Who's going to be the boss? As my natural person, natural, no spirit.
Spiritual, the Spirit of God. Carnal, flesh, saved, but driven by the flesh.
My God.
Okay, let's move on. I'm trying to hit a home run here today. Look at verse 13. Where he talks about the freedom given to us in verse 13. Which things also we speak not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Paul said, I didn't come to you. I came to you spiritual. I'm teaching you spiritual things. The Holy Ghost has revealed things unto me. The Holy Spirit will reveal things unto you. You keep on reading God's word and believing God's word. The Holy Spirit will reveal things unto you. While other folk tell you they can't understand why this didn't happen for you, that didn't happen for you, in your spirit, you got something else going on because God is speaking to you. Learn the voice of God. Learn how to listen to God. Learn how to walk in what God has given you in your spirit. That's what, see, if God is spirit, we worship in spirit and truth, he's going to give us what we need in the spirit, then it manifests itself in the natural. It manifests itself on the earth. But you got to receive it from the spirit. Look at verse 15. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind. How do you get the mind of Christ? Why would Philippians say, let this mind be in you which is in Christ Jesus, if we couldn't get it? God doesn't play games. We get the mind of Christ through the Spirit of Christ. We get the will of God through the Spirit of God. We get the ways of God through the Spirit. We get the power to live a victorious life in Christ through the Spirit of God. So naturally, we're going to have some problems spiritually. A lot of times we say we can't understand the word. It's not the translation. It's our position. We're in a natural position. We're not in a proper position. We're not in a spiritual position. That's why sometimes folk go, if you don't jump over the pulpit and do somersaults and do cartwheels and calisthenics, folks don't think they heard a message. I don't want no message that challenged me. I come to church, pay my tithes and offerings. I ain't come sitting there and tell me all. That's the word of God challenging you in your natural. But since you're not in the spiritual, you take it as an offense instead of saying, hey, thank you, Lord, for pulling my coat. So some folk, if you don't do certain things, they don't think they've been preached to. I talked to people before and I said, well, what did he or she preach? I don't know. But they did somersault down the aisle. And they jumped over the pulpit. They went over the river and through the woods to grandmama's house they went. But the Spirit will tell you when you get in the Word. The Spirit of God will tell you when you get in the real Word. The Spirit of God will tell you when you're with a real person. Trust the Spirit of God in you. The Spirit of God will let you know what's going on. The Spirit of God will let you feel something. It will let you feel the song that somebody sing if they sing it in the Spirit. If you sing it in the natural, folk, the spiritual folk be like, okay, let me be nice. Next. I've seen folks sing the same song frequently, but when they sing in the Spirit, it was different. Every time God, I wish I had a witness in here. It was the same song, but because the Spirit of God fell upon them, it came off differently. I mean, somebody said before, you know, they had this contest, you know, they supposed to recite the 23rd Psalm. So some young man got this very eloquent. He had the proper diction and intonations and inflections in his voice. And he recited the 23rd Psalm. And then old grandmom got up there and talking about the Lord. He is my God. And when they finished the contest, you know what they said? He knew the Psalm, but she knew the shepherd. A spiritual person knows the shepherd. He'll never leave me nor forsake me. Yea, though I walk through the valley. You got all this stuff looking at you. And you're talking about, yea, though I walk through the valley. You can't get that in the natural. And then you start telling folk, that's when you know you got it. That's when you know you're in the spirit. You start telling folk on the job, it's all right. It's going to be all over in the morning. Tomorrow, about this time, things are going to change.
Yeah, I've been going through for a long time, but please be patient with me. God's not through with me. I know you don't agree with the decisions I've made. I know you don't agree with the husband I got or the wife I got or where I live or what I drive or where I work. But the God I serve told me in my spirit that if I continue to serve him, if I continue to just lift him up and to magnify him and to glorify him, everything's going to... That's all Paul is trying to say. Get out of that natural. You walk around with your head down like, this is your last hope. This is the only job you're ever going to be able to get. This is the only car you ever... When folks start taking things from you, don't you know God is yet able? Don't you know you could change your life from the natural to the spiritual? All you got to do is say yes to his will and yes to his way. God will begin to work in your life. And see, what you got to do, don't look for things. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Then all the things come. I don't mind you having things as long as things don't have you. But seek first the kingdom. There's no shortcut to seeking first the kingdom. And when you're spiritual, you ain't got to walk around, you know, all like, you know, mysterious. Pastor walked by me and, maybe it was his cologne. Said, spiritual means you anchored in the Lord. You understand the God. That God's word and God's will and God's way. You made up your mind already. I'm not going down this road anymore. I'm going down the road that God has for me. And I know sometimes it's going to get rough, but he'll never leave me nor forsake me. That's when you become spiritual. When you got to dig in that word and you love the word of God. Even when God challenges you, you still realize, hey God, I know you still love me, Lord. I know you'll never leave me nor forsake me. Even when the things look like they just turn around and God's nowhere around, you still, your spirit still tell you it's going to be alright, because God neither slumbers nor sleeps. I told somebody a couple of days ago, I said, look here, when something happens to me, I don't stay up all night. Why should God and I be up all night long? God said he don't need no sleep, and I do. But in my spirit, I receive. That's why I receive that word. I understand that God will reveal stuff through his word unto you. But in the natural, that's all it is. Church mean nothing. God won't mean nothing. The Holy Spirit won't mean nothing. Preaching won't mean nothing. You just go because somebody asks you to go. Some folks come to church and keep peace in the house. I'm sorry. That's the way it is. They don't care nothing about God. Let me just get a man so she'll shut her mouth and cook me some dinner.
I guess I'll get up and go as men today. I guess I'll get up and go. Oh, it's Women's Day. Let me get on up out of here, because I tell you, Lord have mercy, I won't hear the end of it. You can go everywhere your friends ask you go. You can't even go nowhere with me. You can't even go to church with me. It ain't that long. You don't have to come to Sunday school. Come at 11. Then they leave here mad in the natural. I don't like your pastor. You must have been telling him something about me. You ain't saying nothing to me. The Spirit of God, the Word of God. The Word of God tell us what to preach up in here. Look, I'm telling you, it's so real, because if you want to just get the crowd all and roar, we don't even have to preach, just close the Bible. Yeah! Come on! We're trying to give people some substance and stuff so that when you leave here, you'll have something substantive that you can live off of. When you... See, if you want to be popular, don't be a Christian.
If you want to be a popular, don't really rightly divide God's word. Because you're not going to get a shout out of it every Sunday. You're trying to rescue the perishing. You're trying to get folks that are teetering totter to stop teetering totter and come on in.
You want the folks that went outside and went to work and got some other crazy gospel preached unto them. You want to try to straighten them out through the power of the word of God, through the Spirit of God.
That's what the power of God does.
But salvation for the believer is through the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ. Salvation for the believer is more than eternal life and waiting for heaven. Salvation includes all that is required for you and I to live a Christian life victoriously. Paul was trying to remind the Corinthian church that to understand the things of God, one must be spiritual. See, there's no two ways about it. I know there's shortcuts to a whole lot of things. I know how it is. I know you can get a brand name. You can get a brand name phone. But then when that battery goes out or that charger goes out, you can go to Radio Shack and get your unbrand name battery
in an unbrand name charger. Amen.
But with God, don't work like that. You can't bring no phonies up in there. We got to be real.
Paul is trying to get them to understand. It might be tough, but it's possible. But I understand one thing, that the more that I try it, the more that I believe God, the more that I dig in His Word, the stronger I become. I find out I don't need as many people to help me no more. I find out I can help somebody else because I'm increasing in the knowledge and I'm increasing in the wisdom of the Word of God through my spirit. Paul is trying to get them to know you, it can work. But naturally, you're going to have problems spiritually. When we say that Jesus came that we might have life and have it abundantly, the abundance can only be realized through the believer's spirit. Because a lot of people think abundance, they got all the money they need, all the house they need, all the this they need, all that. But that's not abundance. Abundance is knowing who you are in Him and how gifted you are and how blessed you are in spite of what folks think about you, what they say about you, what they try to do. You know what some do for evil, God would do for good? And see, you can only believe that spiritually because back in the day before I got saved, if you got me, I'm supposed to get you. That's why Proverbs says, if you dig one ditch, you better dig two. Because the one you dug for him, that might be for you. Now, that don't make no sense to me because, you know, we live in a world, you know, dog eat dog. But in the spirit, God says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I got you covered. I know they finagled you. I know they messed with you. I know they got you. They pushed you out of your job and it was not fair. What do you think? My eyes are blind. Oh, I got you. The best is yet to come. In my spirit, I can believe that. In my flesh, I want to go down there. In my natural, I would like to give them a piece of my mind. I would like to use some of the choice words that God has delivered me from. And then do like everybody else. Oh, I just lost it. Oh, I had to go repent. You know what you're going to do before you. It's premeditated nonsense. You know it. I'm sorry. I had to let my hair. I ain't got no hair. I had to just lose my religion. But when you're in the spirit, we don't walk like that. We don't talk like that. We don't think like that. Each day we ought to get better in the Lord. But when you're in the natural, anything goes. One day I'm saved, next day I'm unsaved. When you're in the natural, anything goes. One day I want to be married, next day I don't want to be married. When you're in the natural, anything goes. One day I don't drink, next day I'm an alky. Oh, when you're in the natural. Everything goes when you're in the natural. But when you're in the spirit, the Holy Spirit has the ability to convict us. That's what's telling you not to do that. That's the Holy Spirit. Your mama didn't call you. Your daddy didn't call you. Your wife didn't call you. Your husband didn't call you. Your children, your cell phones didn't even ring. Well, who is this talking to me? It is the Holy Spirit of God wanting you and I to do the right thing. It's the Holy Spirit of God calling you right now and saying, don't you walk out of my church no more without being saved. It's the Holy Spirit of God telling you right now, you know I gifted you. You're using that gift to do everything else in the world, but you won't use that gift for me. It's the Holy Spirit of God that's letting you know, stop blaming everything on him or her. Some of it's you. It takes two to tango, and the music's still playing, baby. Oh, it's deep when you get spirit-filled enough that you can look at yourself and say, I'm wrong. Or maybe I had a part in this. Or we good at projecting. If this one hadn't done, like we perfect. No, we're striving towards perfection, but the only Spirit of God can speak to you. You ever been in prayer about something and God turned it on you? Woo! You pray about somebody else? He said, well, let me tell you about yourself. Let me tell you about yourself, Mr. Perfect. That's when you got the Spirit of God. You're not afraid of the Spirit of God. But Paul, I can listen to Paul because Paul had a conversion experience. His natural had to become spiritual. Jesus did the same thing. But then it brought back to my mind as we close out. That little young boy used to live in our block. He played the violin. Anybody like the violin? Anybody play violin? Anybody like the violin? He played the violin. And when he first started out, I wanted to kill him. Because they must have told me he couldn't practice in the house.
He would practice on the front porch. Early in the morning. My. And I used to see him going to school and stuff with his violin. You know, he would speak and he'd look at you. Yeah, hello to you too. You little rat, you. But as he kept on practicing, he got better. And as he kept on practicing, he got better. And as he kept on practicing, he got better. It came to be a pleasure to hear him out on the porch playing his violin. And then one day I saw him in town playing his violin. And he was playing, and folks were throwing money in his violin case. And the Lord brought that back to my mind this morning because somebody was talking about, they saw a young man playing the violin last Tuesday, and they put some money in the case. But God said, you know what? His violin was in the violin case. He couldn't play the violin while it was in the case. In order to have access to the violin and use his gift, he had to open the case. All God is saying to you and I today is that Jesus fit the veil in two. He opened the Holy of Holies. But if you keep on coming to him, if you keep on practicing, at first my salvation was kind of squeaky. But I kept on practicing my salvation. I kept on believing in Jesus. I kept on coming to Jesus. And then it got a little better. The songs sound different now. But you got to access what God has for you. And you can't give up because it sounds bad. He didn't give up. And he knew it sounded bad to the people because ain't nobody stop. If they stop, they say, oh, that's nice. They was like, ooh, God. But when you first get saved, you might look a mess. But you keep on, you keep that violin case open. And you keep on playing that song till you get it. What song are you going to play? My Faith Looks Up to Thee? Thy Lamb of Calvary? Amazing Grace? How sweet the sound is. Anybody ever just walk down the street and just think about the goodness of Jesus and begin to talk to yourself? You're not particularly having a great day, but in your spirit, see, naturally, sometimes in my natural, in my flesh, I don't feel good. But when I get to be in touch with my spirit, man, when you get in touch with your spirit, when you begin to talk about how good God's been and what he's already promised you, see, can't no devil in hell stop my spiritual relationship. Because, you know, you got to understand, the devil has been defeated. Therefore, if I worship in the spirit and truth, God and I can talk without interfering because it's spirit to spirit. Spirit to spirit. If you're scared of that spirit, don't be scared of it. You're supposed to have spirit.
Jesus had a conversion also. Read 2 Corinthians 5:21 and let's close out. Somebody read 2 Corinthians 5:21 with me. I need some help right now. I need my brothers and sisters to go along with me on this journey. 2 Corinthians 5:21. Because naturally there will be a problem spiritually. Look at 2 Corinthians 5:21. Like my buddy said, next week we'll shout, next week we'll jump over the pulpit next week. 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Pastor, what are you talking about? Well, Jesus, when he went to the cross, he went to the cross dirty. He had my sin and your sin. He had sin past, sin present, and sin future. And in order for Jesus to be who he is and to do what he came to do, that stuff had to be converted. So what did he do? The first step was he took it to the cross. And they nailed him to the cross. Once he nailed my mess to the cross, then he said, they can still see it. So then he did me a favor. They took him down off the cross and they put it in a borrowed tomb. And when he got there, he buried my mess. And he said, the only way that that mess can rise again is if I visit Calvary and start digging up dead bones. But Jesus got up, not with my mess, but with all power in his hands.
Therefore, I live in the spirit and not in the flesh. Because of the victory of Christ, I too have the victory. Because naturally, there'll be some problems spiritually. Unless we just become spiritual. What's that song, Deacon Tony? You're not a natural being living a spiritual. You're a spiritual being having a natural.
We're spiritual. We're a royal priesthood.
I know we don't feel like it. We don't have all the robes and stuff. You don't need all that. You're spiritual. Let us all stand. Let us all stand.